In the book of Deuteronomy this morning, in chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1, read the first 8 verses this morning as we look to the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran, Tophel, and Laban, and Hazeroth, and Dazahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in command unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, to all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Well, most of you that are familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, you know that it is a book meaning second law, and doesn't mean it was a new law. It just meant that this was the second time that Moses gave this law. It's really a condensed message, actually 3 sermons that Moses preaches to the second generation now that is getting ready to go in and to possess the promised land. And it's a summation of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the extended law, but it's a summation of that in 3 different sermons from Moses given to a second generation that's now ready to go in to possess the promised land. I know I don't have to repeat all this, but I just need to bring you up to date on exactly what Moses is talking about here, because their fathers, this generation's fathers, that were sent into the promised land as spies to go in to spy out the land. And when they came back saying, yes, it is a land filled with milk and honey, and has all, and they even carried back some of the fruit of the promised land with them. But they said, but there are giants in the land. They have walled cities, fortresses in the land, and great armies, and we cannot go in and possess the land. We can't do it. They're too strong for us. There's too many of them, and there are too many giants in the land. We can't. And it was an evil report. That report of unbelief, they said, it says that they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were. Isn't it true that as you see yourself, so are you? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what you believe is what you're going to become. And so it's so important to believe the promise of God, to believe the word of the Lord, and not believe an evil report. Now, in our text that I read here in Deuteronomy, he begins to speak to this second generation, and he tells them, "You have dwelt long enough in this mount." You have dwelt long enough in this mount. It's time for you to move up, to step up, and to move and to take possession of all that I have promised you. Amen. So he speaks to this second generation, and isn't it a wonderful thing that God is a God who gives second chances? Amen. If it was not for the mercy and the grace of God who has given to you and I second chances, second opportunities, there would be no hope for any of us, because we've all messed up, haven't we? We have all failed many times, but God is a God of second chances. But really, the unbelief of that first generation affected the second generation. I don't know if you've given much thought to this, but Joshua and Caleb were the only two, along with all of their family members. They were the two that said, well, we're well able to go in. Caleb said, we can go in. We can do this. We can easily go in and take this. But they also had to turn back and spend 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around in the wilderness because of the unbelief of the others. And so whenever you don't believe the promise of God, it affects a lot of other people around you. A lot of others are impacted. Unbelief sent them all back into the wilderness. Unbelief had them all to fight enemies again and again and again without complete victory. Unbelief had kept them back from realizing the promise of God and the plan of God. Unbelief caused everyone to suffer. In spite of the fact that Caleb and Joshua and their families all had faith to believe that they could, they still suffered along with the others. Unbelief is a very, very terrible thing. The writer in Hebrews calls unbelief an evil thing, having an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Your unbelief will stop you dead in your tracks and keep you from making the spiritual progress that God wants you to have. And I just want to encourage all of us here today, get a hold of the promises of God. Yes. Believe the promises of God. Don't allow the lies of the enemy or the unbelief of even others around you to discourage you or to stop you. God wants you to realize and to experience His purpose for your life, His plan for your life, to move forward and to experience the goodness of God and the blessing of the Lord in your life. Amen. I'm afraid that too many times we miss out on what God wants to do for us, and because we just can't get a hold of the promise of God. We can't believe what God has said about your circumstance. The enemy's, speaking little lies into your ear, and you're believing the report, the evil report, instead of believing the report of the Lord. Amen. But God does not give up on His people. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. As a matter of fact, he says here, this journey, verse 2, this journey should have been 11 days from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea. Just 11 days that turned into 40 years. It could have been a 11-day march, and it turned into 40 years of meandering through the wilderness. All of those years, but yet the grace of God was with them. Even in their unbelief, God was with them. And I just want to remind you today that if you find yourself living in a place of unbelief and not really enjoying what God has promised to you, and you've got self-doubt and you can't seem to see your way moving forward, that is the lie of the enemy. But I want you to know that even in your unbelief, God is with you. Even in what you're experiencing, the voice of the Lord is with you. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel in those wilderness journeys, their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. That the Lord fed them with manna out of heaven fresh every morning. He provided for them what they had need of, water flowing out of a rock for them, even though their unbelief had caused them to go back into the wilderness and to spend all those 40 years in the wilderness. God was with them. So I want you to be encouraged today to know that God is with you today. And if you have been dealing with unbelief and doubt and discouragement, and you've been stopped in your spiritual progress, you're not getting where you really want to be and desire to be, God is with you. The presence of God is with you. The provision of the Lord is with you in the struggles that you're in right now. Amen. I just encourage you to put your confidence in the Lord. Amen. Now, they spent that time in the wilderness. They were kind of in survival mode. And I do think that sometimes as Christians, we're just getting along. And when you shake hands with your brothers and sisters, how you doing? Well, I guess I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm getting along. Now, I'm thankful that God brings us through difficult and challenging times, but that's not the plan of God, that you just be in survival. What He has promised for you and His plan is for you to leave from where you are right now. His ultimate desire is for you to enter into the promise of God, to enter into the promised land. That was a place of victory. That was not a place of just barely getting along. It is the plan of God for you to move forward. Amen. To experience the promises of God. And too often we're living way below the promises of God. God did not intend for them to live in the wilderness. He intended them to learn something from the wilderness experience, but not to stay there. And so now He's saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You have stayed in this place of just in, you know, circling and going around and around and around and around all these years. You've been in survival mode long enough. You've just been in barely getting along long enough. It's time for you to step up and to move forward and to enjoy the blessing and the promise of God for your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the promises of God. Amen. God has so much more in store for you if you'll believe God. Amen. God still wants to use you and empower you and anoint you if you will just move forward and put your confidence in the Lord. All throughout that experience of the wilderness, he had been with him. His presence was with them. And He even said, my presence will go with you. And the presence of God is with you today. You may feel like you've messed up, like you've failed God, that you've lived in unbelief and you're not moving forward in the way that God wants you to move forward. That can all stop today if you'll make a commitment to the Lord. Amen. You don't have to stay in that place of complacency, that place of unbelief. You don't have to stay in that place where you're never making the progress, spiritual progress, being used of God the way that God called you to be used. So Moses is speaking to this second generation. I want you to think about it. This is a generation that all they knew about the promise of God was just maybe a few things that they had heard from their fathers. But their fathers and their mothers and their aunts and their uncles have all died and been buried in the wilderness now. This is the second generation. But now Moses is speaking to them and he's telling them, hear it again. Here is the word of the Lord. I've not given up on my people. I've not given up on this next generation. I still have a plan. I still have a work. I still want you to enjoy the victories and the promise of God that I have provided for you. Romans 11 and 29 says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. What does it mean? It just means that God doesn't give up on you. Amen. Maybe at some time in the past, you experienced the hand of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God upon your life. But right now, you're full of doubt, discouragement, unbelief. You can't see how that God could ever work in your life or use your life in any way. I want to encourage you today to know that God is still speaking. God is still dealing with the hearts of people. And God is still saying, there is a purpose. There's a plan. I've got victory ahead for you, but you can't stay here where you are. You can't stay in this routine or this rut where you are right now. You're going to have to get out of it and move forward. You can't just keep circling this mount. You can't stay where you are. It is time to move forward. Amen. Praise God. It's time to believe the promises of God. Quit living in unbelief. Quit living in doubt and discouragement and hopelessness, but believe the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are yes, they are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. That means those promises of God, every one of them are for you, and they're for me to take possession of these promises and to enter into all the wonderful blessings that God has for us. Amen. So what do? Well, you need to repent of your unbelief. I'm sorry, God, that I haven't been taking your word at face value and believing it. Amen. I'm sorry for my unbelief. I'm sorry for my wrong thinking that I've allowed myself to be filled up with all these doubts and these thoughts of unbelief and discouragement. Forgive me, Lord, because I've allowed these things to control my life and even the direction of my life. God has some promises for you, and he wants you to move forward. Amen. Speaking to this second generation here in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy has been compared, some have called Deuteronomy the Romans of the Old Testament. You know, the book of Romans is basically a book of salvation doctrine. And the book of Deuteronomy is an Old Testament statement of God's mercy, grace, and salvation that he can do again in the lives of this next generation. He can do great and mighty things. The word love is in the book of Deuteronomy more than the first four books of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number. The word love is more times in the book of Deuteronomy as a reminder that God still loves his people. God still loves his people. And he wants to work in our lives, even though we have been in this rut, in this routine. You know, the older you get, the more you like routines. Isn't it true? And you don't like your routine interrupted. But sometimes God just wants to step in and interrupt your plans and your routine and do some new, fresh thing in your life and to work through your life in a way that you have never experienced before. Amen. Praise God. Why does he do that? Well, he does it because he loves you. And so this second generation is now hearing the word of the Lord. They're hearing the law of God. They're hearing these three sermons from Moses reminding them that, yes, God can forgive and restore and can renew his promises for you. Amen. If you'll put your trust in the Lord. But notice here in verse 4 that he says there were battles to be fought. You're not going to move forward until you win the battle against some enemies. And I noticed here in the text that there was the king of Ashtaroth. If you remember all through the scripture, Ashtaroth was symbolic of idol worship. Idol worship. They would build idols to Ashtaroth. And so there has to be a battle with idols in our lives. Anything that is replaced God in your life that's more important to you than your walk with God, anything that's more important to you than serving God and living for God, and then those idols need to come down. And you need to once again put God first, put the work of the kingdom of God first in your life, put the call of God upon your life first once again, and tear down the idols. Amen. Amen. But not only were there idols, but if you'll notice in that verse that it mentions Og, the king of Bashan. He was a giant. Og was a giant. And there were giants, which were basically just, the giants just threatened the people of God and intimidated the people of God. So whatever it is, what big thing that's in your life, whatever giant that the enemy has sent your way that's intimidating you and threatening you and taunting you and saying, no, you could never do that. You could never be used of God. You could never move forward in the things that God has for you. Those things are going to have to come down as well. The idols are going to have to come down. The giants are going to have to be defeated. And then Bashan was like a fortress. It was like castles. Castles that were built up. And so castles in the scripture many times represent strongholds in our lives, spiritual strongholds in our lives. So there's some battles to win if you're going to be able to move forward in this into the victory that God has for you. You're going to have to tear down some idols. You're going to have to defeat some giants in your life. You're going to have to tear down some strongholds in your life. Amen. If you're going to be able to move forward into the victory that God has for you. And then he says in verse 7, turn you, take your journey. And then he describes the boundaries of the promised land that God had given the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He describes the northern boundary, the southern boundary, all the boundaries of the promised land. And those original boundaries, sad to say, were never enjoyed. Those original boundaries represented about 3,000 square miles at their peak. And even at the kingdom's height, at its peak, under David and Solomon, they only realized about 30,000 of those, about one-tenth of that which had been promised to the children of Israel was ever realized by the children of Israel. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us we're living way below the promises of God, way below all that God has promised to us, that we should possess it. He told them, everything, you can possess everything, everywhere that the soles of your feet trod upon, I'm going to give it to you. But apparently they stopped short of all that God had promised to them. Only about a tenth that was outlined by the borders that God had promised to them. Now let me tell you, we need to stop just a minute and think about this. Because what we have to come face to face with this morning is that there are so many wonderful, great, and mighty things that God has promised to the people of God. And we are living so far below all those things that God has promised to us individually. Amen. As the people of God, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are living way below the privilege and the blessing that God has promised to us as the people of God. Amen. So what the Lord is saying to us here this morning is this. You've dwelt long enough in this mount. You've been going long enough in these circles. Amen. Long enough in your routine. Time to get out of the rut. Time to move forward. Trying to turn and allow the Lord to begin to give to you greater visions, greater possibilities, greater promises that he wants to do for you and for the people of God if we'll only take hold of his promise. Amen. If we could catch sight of just a little bit more of what God has promised to us, we would all be shocked and amazed of the things that God wants to do. We're just living below the privilege and the promise of God. And we can't stay where we are. It's time to move forward and to enter into the blessing of the Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What does it mean? Well, now that we are citizens of heaven, we now have all the privileges of our heavenly kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. We're not to be held back from any of the things of this world that discourage us or stop us, but we're to take possession of the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, so many great and precious promises that are ours. They're yours, they're mine, to possess them if we will just move forward. Amen. Praise God. A whole generation spent 40 years in the wilderness because of the unbelief of their fathers. But now God, through Moses, is giving their children and a whole new generation another chance, another opportunity to go in and to possess it. Praise God. Amen. So God has some things in store for us that are here right now in this place today. If we'll hear the word of the Lord, if we'll believe it, if we'll lay hold of the promise of God and recognize that, yes, there's some battles to fight. If we're going to move forward into the victory that God has for us, tear down some idols, destroy some strongholds, enter into the promises of God, turn from the direction that you have taken, and turn toward God's promise and believe it. Amen. Believe the promise of God. Amen. I just believe that very likely there's some right here in this service today that God's hand is upon your life. God wants to do some things through your life. Young people, there's some things that God is wanting to do in your life, but he wants you to say yes to him and walk in faith, walk in confidence in the word of the Lord, and don't allow unbelief of anyone around you to hold you back. Just get a hold of the promise of God and move forward. Don't stay in a rut. It's easy to get into a spiritual rut, a spiritual routine, when God is a God who does new things, fresh things, wonderful things in our lives if we'll only believe the promises of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's lay hold of the promises of God today. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God. You have dwelt long enough in this mount. It is time to move forward and experience the blessing and the promise of God in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. To step out and to believe God. To step out and to know that God can work in your life and through your life, if you'll just believe the promise of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are you at right now in your walk with the Lord? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from fulfilling your calling, your purpose? Don't allow any of the lies of the enemy to fill your mind and your heart with unbelief. What you believe is what you're going to become. So make sure that you have laid hold of the promise of God. You believe God's word and not the lies of the enemy. Amen. Believing the Lord to do exceeding and abundantly above all you could ever ask or think in your life and through your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you believe God today? I just want to invite everyone in this sanctuary today that will, especially those of you that you want to see God's purpose lived out in your life, that you'll step forward and you'll come in around this altar right now. Would you do that? Come and kneel, come and stand, whatever you feel inclined to do. Let's come and let's pray for a while here this morning, and let's lay hold of the promise of God today and believe His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.